Last year, this community of faith articulated our core purpose, our reason for being, in what we call a vision statement. Quote, God is calling Tricon Church to be a nurturing community of faith that honors God through service and mission. We also agreed on three distinct priorities that would guide and direct our way forward. One of those priorities is to create vibrant worship through a spectrum of opportunities. During the month of September, we have been having conversations, studying scripture, and listening to sermons that help us think about a little about more about what worshiping God really is. How might we be able to identify vibrant worship? What is that spectrum of opportunities? And how might our understanding of worship enhance our congregation's practices while enriching our personal understanding and connection to God? Today we look at what is often called the early church. Following Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, his disciples were mystically transformed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. They suddenly found themselves boldly telling the story of Jesus in the public square with great authority. Thousands of people heard the good news and were convinced that Jesus was, in fact, the promised Messiah, sent by God to redeem the world. Those who welcomed this message were baptized, and they immediately organized a community of faith in order to reorient their lives toward the goodness of God. This first church described in the book of Acts reveals the potential of the church when guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is how Luke describes it in his book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Those who welcomed his message devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of God leading us to be a people of God.
Thank you, Jeff. Amazing. Right away, as they came together, this early church was caught up in this fire of the Holy Spirit and began to be the Christian church. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we ask that that same fire descend on us this morning, that we may be bound together by your Holy Spirit. So be with us, God, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's no question that there was something that was really spiritually significant, that it undeniably kind of transformed these people. It wasn't like they knew each other already, but there was something happening. And a little bit earlier in the second chapter of Acts, we see where the disciples were sitting around waiting for God to move. And then they were caught up in the winds of this Holy Spirit and suddenly were emboldened to go out on the street and start just telling the story of Jesus. And when they did, the people heard the message, the good news of God's salvation and God's love for them, and began to worship. We saw this before. I never put this link together, but if you were here on the first sermon on this series, we looked at Nehemiah, where the Hebrew people had come back from exile after a long, long time in exile, and they rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. They got together and they contributed money and they contributed labor and they rebuilt the walls, and then they worshiped God and rejoiced. And we saw how joy is linked to the presence of God and to the presence of worship. And it's very similar here. They were bounded in community. Do you remember in Nehemiah where they shared sweet drinks together? and good food, and they lived in this deep joy of the presence of God. It was fellowship with each other and fellowship with God. And we notice there and here as well in this in the second chapter of Acts that it's not just one element of worship or another. It's not just the reading of the word. It's not just the singing of hymns. It's just not the sweet drinks and good food and fellowship. It's all of these things together create something that's really quite a bit bigger than the sum of its parts. And so as we look at vibrant worship, we want to think of it as bigger than the sum of its parts that come together. Now in Acts, we saw that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very explicit. They were filled with something other. This helper is what Jesus called it. Just before his ascension into heaven, he said to his disciples, I'm going to send you a helper that's going to give you the power and direction. I am sure that they had no idea what that meant. And we still wrestle with it today. But the fact is that Jesus knew they're going to need some help, right? Because we can't do this alone. It's too big. It's too amazing. It's too contrary to how we normally are. They need some help. And so we can say that one thing about worship and one thing about community is that it's definitely God's gift to us. God creates it with presence. And then their response is to tell the story. They simply went out and told the story. They didn't have any marketing data. They didn't target key demographics. They didn't try to manipulate a message that would evoke any kind of behavior. They simply told the story of what they had witnessed and what they had seen and what they're experiencing now on the street. And also it says they remembered Jesus. They took bread and wine, and they celebrated communion on a regular basis because that's what Jesus told them to do, to remember. And in worship, that's a lot of what we do is we remember these stories and we bring them in to our own life. We bring our own significance to them. And most importantly, I think, most importantly, is it says they loved one another. They were devoted, is the word, devoted. And devoted is to enthusiastically love and to have enthusiastic loyalty to one another. Devoted. And as we come together, that's the joy that we get to be with one another, devoted to one another. Because worship itself is not just this kind of thing. It's one-way street. It's not kind of a performance that we go to. It's not an event that we buy tickets to. Worship is a people we belong to. We connect together to worship God and to glorify God. We are a people, not an event. And the word for that people, of what they're using in Acts, is called koinonia. Koinonia. I'm sorry. I practiced that too. Koinonia, like a coin with a K. But koinonia is a really important word, and it's used over and over and over again throughout the New Testament. And this is the first saying of it. And basically what it means is that there's a fellowship, a very special, intimate, spiritual communication. It's a sharing of common commitments. And it's a spiritual community. It's what we have here. Koinonia. It's a vision. It is what our vision statement says. That's essentially what it gets down to. It's something special. It's a calling and infusion by God's Spirit that develops commitment. They were devoted to one another. And in Scripture, when you see that phrase used, these are some of the things that we note. They were devoted to one another. They honored one another. They lived in harmony with one another. Paul tells us to accept one another, to serve one another, to serve one another with kindness and compassion. And in the book of Hebrews, the writer says, provoke one another to love and good deeds, to provoke one another. And I think that happens, right? We come together and suddenly we're provoked to do something good and kind. We're provoked to bring it out of these halls and into our lives. And when we worship God with one another, together, we become bound into this one spiritual, supernatural bond of koinonia. Extravagant love is that evidence that the Holy Spirit is actually bursting forth in this community. In the second chapter of Acts earlier on, it was manifest with this great wind and fire and people speaking in different languages and understanding. It was a big event, right? But here, on a daily basis at Tricon Church, we experience the Holy Spirit when we sense that community that is formed, the relationships that we build. That's the evidence that the Holy Spirit is bursting forth among us. And I'm sure in my understanding of what that is, it does happen frequently. We are united in a common purpose to serve the world alongside one another with overflowing joy. I often think of Tricon as a tall ship. Have you ever seen the tall ships with the big sails? It's a ship I like to call the Koinonia, if I can get it right. It really is. It's a ship, and I like to think of it that way. And what we've done over the past couple of years is we've kind of refitted the ship. We've retooled the different riggings that we've got. We've shined it up. We've taken a close look at every little corner. And we have begun our journey out of a safe harbor together. And so, if we all come together and face the sails, and on the count of three, blow as hard as we can, this ship might move. I don't think it'll be enough. We need the wind of the Holy Spirit. We need the helper to fill these sails and guide our path along the way. We can't do it. And we need to examine if there's anything that gets in the way of the wind flowing onto those sails. And I think that's what vibrant worship, this look at vibrant worship is about, because it's more than an hour on Sunday morning. Catching the fire of the Holy Spirit is what creates vibrant worship, and that manifests in sharing and in caring for one another with this extravagant love. And that happens all week long. If you were to hang out here all week long, you'd see it. There's so much of it going on, right? In that first church, we again saw the same thing we saw in Nehemiah, the four markers of a vibrant worship, where it begins when you encounter an almighty God that is so vast, beyond our comprehension, a God beyond God, and you recognize that you are not it. You recognize your place in that encounter with awe. And secondly, that causes us to embrace one another in extravagant love. And we love each other, we care for one another. And in doing so, we begin to equip each other for the work ahead, studying the scripture, praying together, coming up with achievable outcomes. We become the body of Christ. We find our place on this tall ship, wherever we're crewing, and we do that, and we become the crew that carries this vessel forward. We share all of our expenses. We share all of our labor. And finally, that causes us to engage the world. We engage out there, like all of those young people running on that road race, and families too. You know, we go out to proclaim the gospel. Sometimes we use words, but often we just show up. On October 21st, we're all going to show up at the crop walk in unison and either walk or send the kids on their way. We're going to show up. We're going to engage one another and the world in the joy that comes from being together in worship. Jesus said that everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And I'll tell you what, loving one another is a contagious thing. When people see a community that shares and cares and worships and has this joy unspeakable, it's infectious. And they want to join. And then at the end of this scripture in Acts, what we see is this. Day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And that's what we're going to do today. We have six new members joining the church today. And we are so delighted that God is adding to our number so that we might continue to love and bind ourselves together in the Spirit of God. 6 new people that want to get on board the Koinonia ship and find their place to encounter, to embrace, to equip, and to engage. God has called Tricon Church to be a nurturing community of faith that honors God through service and through mission. Together, we are called to sail as a ship of light on a sea of darkness, vibrantly worshiping God and caring for one another with extravagant love. And may the winds of the Holy Spirit fill our sails and guide us along our way. Amen.